morning. Lord, bless each one here. Does this fit in the pocket or does it work? If I put it in, okay, I'm going to do it. So maybe I'll. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us again this morning. Thank you for the beautiful song service that we could have here and the messages, the words that were shared. Lord, we just praise you for your faithfulness. You have given us life and health that we can be here and meet with you, with fellow believers. Father, we just thank you. And now we pray, Lord, that you would be with us here as you've given a message to share. Lord, I just pray that you would give me clear mind and clear thoughts, and that my heart could be pure as I share for you, Lord. We just pray for each one here. Bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. I will put title. You may turn to John 15 while you wait here. So, I titled my message, The Armor of God, and I thank you for those words that were shared, Brother John and Brother Simeon. It was a blessing. That is the opening words, John, that you shared this morning on that passage. I was just thinking, I believe I've met with some of the lame and the blind and maybe the maimed here. That's the way I feel. I think we all feel a need among us that we are needy people, but we're so blessed to be part of God's people. We don't deserve, like Simeon shared, the resurrection power is here, and we may have that. It's here right among us. So here in John 15, I would like to spend most of our time here in Ephesians then, which is where the title comes from. But my message, I will just read here in John 15, the first five verses maybe. I didn't write it down here, but maybe I will go a little further. Maybe I'll go down to verse 10 here. I really like this. I'll just read here. And this is all in red. This is all Jesus' words. It says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. And it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. In verse 10 here, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I will stop there. I thought I'd just read this passage here, and hopefully at the end of the message, we can come back to this again. If I don't forget, I wrote it down here. Sometimes I forget, but what stands out to me in this passage is, I think it's very clear. Most of us, I assume that we're familiar with trees, fruit trees maybe, or grapevines, or however that may be. And it's very, I was going to say very simple to think of. So Jesus used this analogy for himself as the vine and us as the branches. And we know that if a vine does not bear fruit, if it's dead, we cut it off and we throw it in the fire. It's not good for anything. There's no life there. And that's the same as part of my message today, is that the life, it has to be, it's the only way is if we abide in Christ. So that was, yeah, it's, again, it's a blessing to be here. We've been wanting to visit here for a while, and just with a, I don't know how you call it, outreach or a new church plant started here. You know, it's exciting when I think of God's kingdom expanding in this way. It's a new opportunity, maybe a new neighborhood, and you know, you just put into blanks, I guess. But and then also blessed with your numerous families from the Rockville area, and I've met a few of you, but not all of you. But it's just a blessing to see that there's a hunger for God, for the Word of God, and to live according to His will. So those are things that we want to look at today as we think of being a part of God's people. And when I think of that, it's so real that we are in a battle. We are in a battle. And the battle is real. So, in saying that, I'm not trying to scare anyone. I don't think we need to be scared. but in this battle, again, coming back to abiding in Christ, I believe that is the answer. And maybe as we go through, I was just inspired with looking at the armor of God there in Ephesians 6. And before we go into that, I was thinking of the battle we're in. And in this spiritual battle, we need spiritual armor. We're not, as it says, well, we'll read in that soon here. But the analogy that Paul used there in writing there, in, you may turn to Ephesians 6, and the analogy that Paul uses there in the of a soldier and in the armor that they wear, the clothing or the armor, we want to look at each of these, and I think the most fundamental reality is that we are in a spiritual battle, and that Christ is the victor. Let's remember that Christ is the victor, and apart from Christ, we don't stand a chance to win this battle. The enemy, Satan, is, if we don't have Christ in our life, we will not be able to withstand temptations. If we have hidden sin, whatever it may be, it just cripples us, that We will not be able to stand and be victorious. I have a few verses written down here before we start. In one of the things that Brother Simeon brought out was the resurrection, and I thought I would share a few verses. Thank you. So, if we think of that, the crucifixion, the resurrection, it is so beautiful. Satan was in, I believe Satan was thinking that he has this great victory. He has killed the Son of God. He has, but here in Colossians 2:15, I just wrote it down for the sake of time. We don't have to turn there, but, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And that was Jesus. And in Hebrews 2:14-15, it says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." So Jesus, we all know that. Jesus was here. He took part of that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Through the death of Christ, it destroyed that power that Satan had. And it says, that is, the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And I won't expound much on these verses. And in 1 John 3:8, he says, "He that committeth sin is from the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning." And then it says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And that word destroy, and that was also a word there in Hebrews, destroy him. If we can just get a hold of that, and there's so many ways the devil would like to stumble us. I don't know what you all struggle with. But we know the devil is out. One of the things that has really, helped me, I guess, is to realize that we're in this battle, and that this is something, the devil hates unity wherever, and we are, we can hurt each other, or maybe sometimes we don't even know it, but we have, so it's necessary that we have open communication, and that we're humble, and you all know about it. So as we think of the armor of God, I will just start reading. And I think as we think of this, the armor of God, this time it just stood out to me more that these pieces of armor should not be viewed as just an independent things that we, but they're all part of a package. We need the whole armor of God, as it says here. So let's start reading here. I was just looking over my notes. I know I won't have time to share them all. Just some thoughts. I just wrote down, maybe I'll just share this yet, that the truth that we need to always remember is, without him we cannot stand, and with him we cannot be destroyed. Those are two things that has helped me just remember. Sometimes it feels like, that's what he's out here to do, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Let's read here in Ephesians 6. I think we'll start in verse 10. Ephesians is a favorite book of, I don't know, the whole Bible is beautiful. I just really enjoy. But this is talking about the Christian soldier. So here in verse 10, and we'll read until probably verse 20. Let's. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is why, verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, it's because of this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I think it's talking about steadfastness, immovable. That's what comes to my mind when I think of stand. Stand therefore, here in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The last two verses there we read was Paul, and I guess that would be my prayer as well, that we may speak boldly as I ought to speak, not bold in the manner of my own agenda, but bold for the Lord. So the first one here is... that we see here in this armor. I would just like to expound a little bit on verse 12. I remember as a young boy or child growing up, you know, thinking of these things. We wrestle not against, and just imagining somehow, you know, I had to picture that somehow it wasn't really a clear picture, but it's just like soldiers, or, you know, the devil's, he's fighting in the air. He's something that we can't really see. And I don't know if I have a clear picture now, but it's more real, I guess, that we do get attacked by this enemy. And it can... I guess the things that are more real is it comes to our thoughts, maybe more than anything, maybe it's our thoughts, and that can be so subtle. So first we need the belt of truth, which he talks about here, in loins girt about with truth. And so the belt here, I have a belt here, but I picture the soldiers wore a wider belt that was actually, it was protecting their loins, their vitals, so to speak. And then the next one is the breastplate so this was his belt around for his armor, his clothing he wore to pull everything together and hold it tight. That's just what I'm picturing. I'm not sure how it looked there. But so that's one thing, the first one that he talks about here. And so as we think of this, it's more than just a piece of armor that we put on. But it is, those who live with Jesus interact with truth. And so we're part of that. He is truth. Like it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. So Jesus knows the truth, he speaks the truth, he lives the truth, and he is the truth. And sometimes those are a little hard. I'm not sure if I can explain that. But if so going back to what we read in John 15, we abide in him, we live in him. That's what I like to come out with. And Satan attacks that, okay? I think we're all familiar with that. As Christian people, he comes. We know how it went in the Garden of Eden, where he came to Eve before there was any sin, and he just asked. Maybe we can say, it's just a innocent or a... It was just a question. It wasn't... But he asked, yeah, has God said? And I believe that's the way he comes in a lot of ways to us today as Christian people. Has God said? He likes to... He questions the truth. He distorts and twists the truth. He tells lies and half-truths. And then accusations. Have any of you ever battled with... He's the accuser of the brethren. We read about that. I believe we face those things. Those things are real. But if we have this belt of truth, it's more than just knowing. It's more than just knowing the truth. We're part of the truth. We walk in the truth. And if we can believe that and have that belt around us, when these accusations come, I was thinking of what I could use for an example. And we could say, maybe just take a drunkard. He knows, or we could take tobacco, whatever, some of those things. We know it's right on the package of cigarettes that it's dangerous, it's harmful. But let's take a drunkard and, I remember years ago, I worked in a factory where the plant manager was a drunkard. But when he was sober, he was the most upright man. He was not a Christian, but as far as work ethic, and he did not allow any cursing in the workplace and no radios, but he came in to work 3 times drunk. And the fourth time, they just fired him. Because in that state, he was very unpredictable. But he actually passed away I think he came to his 50s, maybe 60, I'm not sure. But he was not very old. But it had damaged his liver. He passed away from that. And I think he knew it was dangerous. He knew. He had all the knowledge he needed. But he did not have the power of God in his life. That's what I'm talking about. It's more than just knowledge. We need that, the power of the resurrection that we heard this morning. So those are just another thing that comes to my mind is that so that we become true men or true women, however. And, we think of, I had to think of Joseph in the Bible when he was reigning there in Egypt and there was a drought and his brothers came. We know the story. I don't have time to expound on the story, but his brothers came and fell down before him. They didn't know who he was. And they said, I don't remember for sure how it all says, but they said, we are true men. We are true men. And I don't know what went through Joseph's mind. We can sort of think what went through his mind with the actions he took. He wanted to test them. Were they true men when they sold Joseph? See, they weren't. That was the last Joseph knew. I'll just leave that, but those are things that we need to become part of. We need to become part of. It's not just a tool or a thing we put on and now we're here, today I learned of that, so I'll just put it on. Now we're good to go. It's something that we actually become part of. And I think that is something that happens at the new birth and as we grow, doesn't mean we might never in the perfection of we might never fail, but we don't make provisions for the flesh. We don't sin. So the next one is the breastplate of righteousness. It's also in verse 14 here. I should have looked up the soldiers, but if we think of a breastplate, it's something that some of you might know better, but I just imagine it was something that covered the chest area with that, so that when the enemy shoots or throws a dart or a spear, whatever, that in that time, I don't think they had guns like today. And so as we think of that, in our spiritual life, we know we don't have, so that's righteousness. So what is counted as righteousness? I just wrote here that our root problem is that we are sinful. Jesus died to forgive us our sins, but that isn't all. He also intends to make us righteous. So as we become born again, it's not just that he imputed to us his righteousness, but that we become righteous in him, if that makes sense. So he counts our faith is as righteousness. The Bible calls it justification. And we could think of Abraham. It talks about him, that it was counted. I should have read that. I didn't have that on my notes, but you probably all know better, but it was counted for him as righteousness when he believed God. It was counted as righteousness. So I believe that is becomes our righteousness. We're justified by his blood. And here again, the devil would love to accuse us. But as it says in Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation. There's to them which are in Christ. I can't get the whole verse. That walk not after the flesh, but after spirit, somewhere like that. So those are just things. We'll come to the Word of God here. But as I thought of this armor, it just comes together as a beautiful, we can call it a package. But it's part of being in Christ. And so that's the one form of righteousness is our faith. And it's because of who he is. It's because of what Christ did. You know, sometimes I just marvel at that. You know, I remember when I was, I don't know, maybe 19, 20 years old when I became born again. I was baptized before that in the Amish church, but I just remember when it became real in my life. And I don't want to lose that today. You know, it's happened numerous years ago, but when that hit me, that the sins I did, sins I was in, Christ, I'm justified through Christ. If I believe in him and walk in his ways, it's just like if I've never done them. That's something that is so beautiful. And yeah, we'll go on here. We have more than imputed righteousness. The effect of faith is not only that we are declared righteous, but that we are made righteous. And John writes this, I believe in 1 John 3, I wrote down a verse, part of the verses here, just so, probably not turn there. Says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And then, that is in verse 7, and then down further in verse 10, I should have maybe just turned there, but I think I'll leave it. I wrote down enough that I can get it here. He's talking about, it seems like he made a distinction between a believer and unbeliever. It says, in this the children of God are manifest, that and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of... I'm sorry. Maybe I might just turn there. I think I wrote something wrong here. I'll just turn there in 1 John 3. So in verse 7 it says, "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." And I'll skip a few verses. In verse 10 it says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God." Okay, I missed that verse, that word "not." I was thinking, now that's not right. It says, "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." It brings it down to a very practical level. Just right down to, I'll just call it to right here. If I don't love my brother, so that becomes a very real, serious matter to ponder about. And just remember how John Byers shared there in Bern this last time. It just still rings in my ears. We can say all we want, we love our brother, we love our brother. Or we love God, but if we don't love our brother, we don't love God. He just brought, and it still sticks in me. It's something that, you know, Christ didn't die maybe we'll get to that later. I just wrote down, if there is no difference between the lifestyle, the ethics, and the morality of believers or of unbelievers, there has been no salvation. What I'm saying there, or what the Bible teaches, it's not just me. It's what the Bible teaches is that if believing God, if that doesn't change our lives, if that doesn't change my way of living, my way of doing, I am not saved. Is that right? I believe it is. That's what the armor, it's not just something we just put on and then go on sinning. We don't just change the way we dress, or, you know, all those things come along, but it's living in Christ. Let's go on. Yeah, I was going to get this, that Jesus does not save people to enable them to go on sinning. I believe, now those things are, I have to think of how it says in Corinthians, is it 2 Corinthians 5 maybe, where is anyone in Christ? He's a new creature. All things are new. You know, verses like that, it's just clear. All things are new. It's not, I think a lot of us might be able to remember I guess in a nutshell, let's remember that maybe if we're not living, how should I word this? I'm trying to think of, but if we just struggle, if we just struggle to overcome sin, you know, we are going to be tempted. I want to be clear. We are going to be tempted. The devil wants to stumble us. But I believe if we can't be victorious, maybe it's time that we question ourselves. Are we walking in Christ? Or are we maybe even born again? Sometimes we, if that's really questionable, if the fruits are not coming out, and I think, yeah, I would like to have your thoughts on that, but I don't believe, according to the scripture, that there's victory here. There is, and there is going to be a victorious life. It's not that we won't be tempted, and sometimes there's things that, maybe there are strongholds from generational sins, or however it may be, and I don't think I understand all of that, but I do think there is something. I know there is something like that. I know there is, and we need to be diligent and being free from those things, cleansing us with the Word of God and with renouncing the devil through Jesus. We'll move on to the number three, as boots of the gospel. I just wrote down boots of the gospel. There in verse 15 is where I'm referring to, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he gives a picture here that the soldier has his boots on. The analogy he uses that we are ready, we have our shoes on, ready to run out the door and share the gospel of peace, it says. And that's something that I believe comes, I know some of you do a lot more, maybe go out to street witnessing, and some of us do more than that, and others. I'm not so much saying on how we're doing it, or maybe we go to a foreign, our thoughts come to, we need to go to a foreign country, or a mission or something like that. And those are all good. Those are all good. I think it's all part of the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go ye out into all the world. So I don't think we want to downplay. That's not what I'm trying to do. Not downplaying anything. But I think he's talking about that wherever we go, it's part of our life. It's part of our life. And that can be done in various ways, and from very small to, we don't have to be just preaching where we go as far as what we call preaching. But how do we, I just feel more and more as we pray about these things, we walk with the Lord, you know, our desire is that wherever we see human beings is that they're lost, you know. I know we can't, but do we have something that looks different, or do they see something that they want? Or is it just a different way of dressing and we have the same, you know? Anyway, then we come to a more personal, I just believe that according to Scripture, right here, I wonder if he's not talking more of, well, maybe not here, but throughout some of the Scripture here in Ephesians, I think it's, I'll just talk more to believers, okay? Just right here. How are we doing it amongst ourselves? That was where I just felt more of the burden. And I believe that as Christians, as believers, we need to encourage each other. We need to talk about what God did in my life this week, maybe. Or however it is. We don't do that enough. I was just, as I was studying for this message, this is one thing that just hit me that, you know, am I excited about what God is doing? Or am I excited what He's doing my children? Or do we share those things? We don't have to be arrogant about those. It's all because of Jesus. It's not because of me. And we praise God. We might share, you know, one thing that, my thoughts just went to, this happened, I don't know, maybe Neil would probably remember more, but it was one morning, we were planning on going shopping in Bloomington, and we just both felt that we hope we have an opportunity to share with at least one person, just some encouragement or however. We didn't know, and we actually prayed about it, just prayed. And I think it was the first store we were in. It was not a store that we go in very often. It was a big clothing store, and we hardly ever go in there because it's just a lot of things are expensive. We were walking through the aisles, and I just randomly looked through the aisles, and there was an elderly lady. And as I looked over there, she looked me right in the face, and there was something about, I don't know what she saw, but she came right over, and she just started sharing her woes, you know, her problems. And we never met each other. And it was something that, to us, it was just a confirmation that if we pray, God will take us serious, if we are serious and committed. And we ended up, we shared, she was, what it was, she was so, it was before the election, a few months before, and just all the wickedness, and she was so down in the dumps about her grandchildren or children, I don't remember. Just a combination, and she just said, I just live in fear. She's just very fearful. And we shared some about, I don't remember all the words we said, but we just shared some and we prayed with her. And she just looked very much happier and just, she said, thank you, and we parted. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know what happened with her after that. And this one thing I missed, I really wish we would have gotten her phone number, and that was, but we have prayed for her. But those are just things that I believe as we don't always, you know, a lot of times we might go shopping a little bit and we might not specifically talk to someone, or maybe we do, but maybe even just seeing a Christian family or smile. A lot of times you walk through the aisles and people don't even look at you, you know. And I try to make a habit of looking people in faces, and just, they're not used to that. Those are just some little ways that we can start. But I think here, I came a little bit distracted. I believe the believers, as believers, we need to be open and sharing with our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters. And this is something that we can expect if we start doing more, just sharing about God and in general, and we'll get some opposition, because Satan hates Jesus, and that's he's out there to whatever he can do to do that. But it also, I think it also brings a greater spiritual protection to our lives if we're just open with that, because Jesus, if we stand up for him, we don't have to fight for him as in protecting him, but we stand up for him in proclaiming who he is. Like Paul and Silas, they were singing in prison, and you know that story. So number four, I need to move on here. The shield of faith. And as I picture the shield, I think we all know the shield of faith. That's number four. That's something that we can move around, and it deflects the arrows that come flying. That's a... And I believe faith says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's part of the verse in 1 John 5, 4. We live in an anti-God world system. That's the environment we live in. Maybe we don't think much about it, or as far as just, I don't know how it is here, but we don't really face, a literal, what we call persecution, but it's anti-God. And if you really come down to it, some people will become very angry if you even just talk about them to God. And so one thing, I won't spend maybe as much time in this as I should, but one thing that I think this is a point that I would like to share, is that our faith is not bigger than the object we believe in. Now, I don't want to call God or Jesus an object, but if we just have faith in, maybe I could say I have faith that my car will bring me here. And it might be an old, it's not just hope, I guess I want to put it that way. It's not the same as just hoping that it'll rain tomorrow. But if we have faith, the true faith in Christ, in God, is something that will override, if we if we are, I don't know, I was trying to think of what I could put in, falsely accused by the enemy. So it's, well, like Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So it's a very, Paul was not wavering, or maybe it was Timothy that wrote that, but I think Paul wrote it there in Timothy, for Timothy. Yeah, that's the way it was. And if we have that confidence, we could not have that confidence if we wouldn't believe in Christ. If we wouldn't actually own it, if I may say that. I guess that's what I was after. So Paul had that confidence, and we may have that confidence. We want that. We need it. And that's just part of the package, I believe. But as we, what I said earlier, as we go through life, I think we need to lift each other up still. We need to band together, because the devil likes to come and try to trip us somehow. And it's not something we need to be afraid of, that he's sitting behind every bush and, you know, we just live fearfully. But, you know, what it does to me is it just brings out more the, I don't know, the reality of God, of Jesus, the reality of the power of Christ. As we go through life, we might face some hard things, but it's good. It actually increases our faith. And so when we trust God, I just wrote down here, when we trust God, we have it settled in our hearts that God is good, God is right, God is love. We have anchored our souls on the truth of God, and we will not listen to suggestions of the enemy. That's what the faith, the shield of faith does. And it, one other thing I thought of, it keeps us from acting foolishly, maybe on some of our own, just our own thoughts. Maybe something happens and it's just a, I didn't even think of a scenario, but depending on what happens in our life, we just need to stop and maybe think, what is the right thing to do? Not just respond in a, without, I wish I could think of a scenario. Right now I don't, I'm sorry about that, but you know, we think of Bible characters, Joseph, Daniel, Abraham, you know, Noah, they moved in faith. And that protected them from all the, just all the evil, the uncertainties of the world. We need to move on. Number five is the helmet of salvation. And that picture of a helmet, it protects the head, the brain, so to speak. And I believe that's where a lot of our hope, I would like to get the last two yet. Maybe I'll just, so the helmet of salvation, God's children are protected from the enemy by exercising a settled confidence in what God has promised. God has forgiven us. God is presently delivering us from the designs of the enemy. This calls for faith. This is the hope of salvation, I guess. So, I think I might leave that. So we have the helmet of salvation. Seeing if I'm skipping over anything. I'm skipping over some of my notes. But it's not just wishful thinking. I wrote that down here. So I think I'll leave that and go to the next one. Then it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Are we thankful that we have this? I was just thinking more of that recently. In the many winds of doctrine, things that just sweep through periodically. And we can read it. It happened years ago. It happened throughout the ages, and it just keeps on. There's new things coming up, and there's so much emphasis put on a miracle, and we forget the one who does the miracles and things like that. I'm just talking about. I think you're all familiar with things like that, but we need revivals. We're so thankful there's revivals among us and throughout. Those are not what I'm talking about, but it's so easy as those things happen that it's just always a check in my spirit if we hear of someone that can, you know, cast out devils. Yeah, I think Jesus still does that. I think that's still possible, but it's just something that, you know, the talk gets and listen for. Do I hear any repentance? You know, things like that. You know, it's just things that we need to. So often there's such maybe it's just, but it seems there's a teaching that we would like to be experiencing these great experiences, but there's no repentance. And repentance in itself doesn't save someone, but it's repentance has to be there, and it has to be measuring up with the Word of God. So that's one thing that the Word of God, it means that we must know what the Word of God says if we want to use that as a sword, as a sword. And so I think I would just want to encourage all of us that reading, hearing, meditating, you know, listening to sermons, and quoting, memorizing. I think that's good, especially for, you know, as we're young, it's easier to memorize. I would just encourage all of us to memorize Scripture. And as we do those things, and as things come up, it's and one thing I this has helped me a lot. I remember, you know, I'm so thankful. One thing my dad taught me early on is that, you know, sometimes we would hear of. I just remember there was a, we call him a prophet. I don't know. He was from Romania. He was having some. He would have meetings in the Amish homes, like in the big shed, and it would be a lot of people there. And I remember we went to one of those one evening, and it was more a prophecy of what will happen to, I don't even remember all the details. I was pretty moved as a young boy. You know, but Dad told me then that, well, there are some things that don't measure up with the Word of God, and the Spirit of God will never lead someone against the Word of God. So we can remember that. That's helped me a lot in going through some things. And it turned out that I don't believe that person had sound doctrine. I want to get to the last one here. It's not really part of the, but here in verse 18 he says he doesn't really take this as part of the armor, but I believe it's very vital. He says praying always. He sums this up. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here's more where he talks about praying for the saints. I'll just read the next two as well. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I had read those, but I thought I'd read them again. But I think prayer is so powerful. When I think back of, I give a lot of credit to the prayers of my parents. Just in the setting we were in, I thank God for them and for their sincerity, and they did not allow us to just go with the crowd. And I think that was something that God gave my dad strength, and he got ridiculed at times. But I remember as a young man, I had things that I thought I would want to do and taste in the world, and I did some, but not to the extent I was planning on. But I remember, you know, going out the door where I really wasn't blessed to go, and Mom would be there with her Bible, and she would just pray. And just having that image to think about when I wanted to do something, and it just felt, I just remember still sometimes when I wanted to do some, I had in mind to do some, well, you don't have to really plan to sin if you don't plan to live for God, but these were things that I just wanted to experiment. I thought it'd be harmless. But those images came to my mind. And it just felt like I was not born again. I didn't have the power on my own, but that prayer, intercessory prayer, is powerful. And so I believe we don't want to underestimate that. And pray in the Spirit means, here's one thing that stood out to me. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And I believe what that's talking about, in the Spirit of God, we need to be united with God as we pray, that we want His will. Sometimes I believe I think I have it all figured out. Sometimes God has other things for us in a different way, maybe. Maybe He has something in here for me to learn more than anyone else, depending on what it is. So here at the end, I just wrote, spiritual victory is not a private matter. We are brothers and sisters, members of one body, and we need one another. I have that under the prayer. We don't want to, you know, we don't want the enemy. I don't, as I look at your group here and everyone that's here, you know, we don't want the enemy to get any one of us here. And as we see other people, we don't want him to get those either. But it's just something that I believe we need to. So again, I might just turn back to John 15. It almost seems like I'm not quite done here, but I would just like to end this message again with remembering. I won't read all this, but here in verse 5, I'll just recap on that for one. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then on down, I will just start in verse 8. Well, maybe I'll just read from, it looks, I'll just read them all here from verse 5 to 10. It says, if a man abide not in me, this is verse 6, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we see here, love, if we abide in that, it produces fruit in our lives. And I just want to bless each one of you with that. Remember that I'm not trying to downplay. The point today was just that we need to abide in Christ. And that's where life comes from. It's not that there's never a struggle that we need to take actually literal effort and just flee if we're tempted. We need to do those things, but the power comes from God. So, may the Lord bless each one.